Well, hello, Joan. Nice to have you back again in studio. A lot, like usual, has been happening here in the Vatican, and probably the highlight of the past week would have been the end of the year for priests.
Definitely. You know, and I mean, we could double the length of the show, and we still would end up probably only talking about the main stories of a week, papal audiences, papal masses, et cetera, et cetera. But I think it behooves us to look back at last week. I mean, 15,000 priests in Rome. It was wonderful to see the black and white, the Roman collar, the brown robes, the Franciscans, whoever they were. But to see them in the square Thursday night for the beautiful vigil with the Pope, and he answered five questions put to him by priests from different continents. And then the Mass, I mean, wow, the Mass on Friday was really awesome. And the only thing I was a little disappointed in not seeing on television was the fact that when the Holy Father, as always, is shown at the moment, obviously, of the consecration, but had the camera only panned back, they would have seen 15,000 priests all vested for concelebration in St. Peter's Square with their hands out as they would do in a concelebrated Mass in a church. So 15,000 priests concelebrating the Eucharist was really incredible.
Something like 93 different countries represented.
Right. Yeah, well, indeed, well over 90. But the interesting thing is before the Pope even arrived, there was live television link-ups to share the witness and experiences of a German family with six children, a deacon, an Argentinian priest who works in a very poor neighborhood, a pastor from Hollywood, USA, and a cloistered nun. And then, of course, you had the Cardinal Prefect of the Congregation for Clergy, Cardinal Claudio Gomez, giving a talk. The Pope is now, of course, in the square, and he does answer the questions. But I think what struck me most as I listened to and then read the Pope's words were, I think, his amazing words, his homily on Friday at the closing Mass. And he talked about the year for the priest, what it was for the church, how special a priest is. He does something which no human can do of his own power. In Christ's name, he speaks the words which absolves us of our sins. And at Mass, of course, he changes the bread and wine truly into the body and blood of Christ. And then the Pope generated huge applause, only time in his homily, and it's very rare, of course, for a homily. It was to be expected that this new radiance of the priesthood, what came out obviously during this year, would not be pleasing to the enemy, for he would rather have preferred to see it disappear so God would ultimately be driven out of the world. Huge applause to that line.
And the Pope, of course, this was in response also to the sex abuse crisis.
Oh, yes, indeed. And certainly, once again, he did, he got into that, and he said, we insistently beg forgiveness from God and from the persons involved while promising to do everything to ensure that such abuse will never occur again. And that in admitting men to the priestly ministry and in their formation, we will do everything we can to weigh the authenticity of their vocation. And the Pope stressed the fact that the year for priest was not a glorification of individual human performances by priests, the word performance. But he said, what happened? We grew in gratitude for God's gift, a gift, of course, which is concealed in earthen vessels. So thus the frailty, the weakness of human nature. But even in human weakness, God makes his love concrete in the world. Amazing days and Sunday at the Angelus.
In fact, I was just about to say, at the Sunday Angelus, he recalled as well this end of the year for priests.
Right. And, you know, I don't know about you, but the priests that I talked to these days, this past week, just were on, they were walking on air. The experience in St. Peter's Square, to listen to their words, their witness about what the whole year meant, but then the culmination, if they were blessed to be in Rome with their Holy Father. It was, some of them were really brought tears to my eyes just by how moved they were, with people thanking them, too, for being a priest. And, you know, we have to do that. I've asked all my blog readers to thank a priest, smile at a priest anytime you see a priest around you. So it ended with a bang Thursday and Friday and again at the Angelus on Sunday.
Then on Monday, the Pope received in audience 40 members of the Pontifical Ecclesiastical Academy. Now, that, of course, is the institution that trains the Church's future diplomats. Tell us about that.
It is. And it's, as a matter of fact, located just yards from the Pantheon in central Rome. And there was an American, now Cardinal, Cardinal Regali, who once headed that academy for many years. But the Pope talked to these members about the significance of their work in pontifical representations. And he said the service for which you are preparing yourselves means participating in that, what he called that ecclesial concern which for the church, which marks the ministry of the Pope. And he said, Benedict said, representing the Holy See involves the need to accept and nourish certain dimensions of one's own priestly life. The first dimension, he said, is full inner adherence to the person of the Pope, to the magisterium, and his universal ministry. And this involves care. It involves true passion for ecclesial communion. Because, you know, these diplomats, they're called nuncios, apostolic nuncios, the representatives of the Holy See in different countries. And they have offices and homes that range from 2 and 3 rooms in some of the poorer countries of the world to bigger offices that can take care of the concerns of a bigger nation. And I know that the nuncio, for example, in Kyrgyzstan, he's been reporting to the Holy See on the horrible human catastrophe, people dying and so forth, all of what's happening, of course, because that the problems with the government in that country. So a nuncio has to be a representative of the church. He also has to help, obviously, where he can. But it's representing the Holy See to a country and then representing that country's positions, not representing it, transmitting a country's positions, obviously, to the Holy See. So the Pope stressed really that what they are a solid bridge, should be a solid bridge, a safe channel of communications between the particular churches and the Apostolic See. On the one hand, giving the Pope an objective, correct, and in-depth view of the ecclesial and social reality, and then on the other hand, undertaking to transmit norms, indications, and guidelines emanating from the Holy See. So he stressed the importance of their role, and he said it was a different way of living the priesthood, which I found a fascinating kind of a line in conclusion.
Well, that is quite interesting. Also on Monday, on a very somber note, we saw the funeral mass for the Bishop Luigi Padovese, the apostolic vicar of Anatolia in Turkey.
Right. He had, of course, been killed on June 3rd. It was the day just before the Pope was to go to Cyprus. And there are, of course, many questions about how he died. There's an investigation underway and so forth. But the bishop was a native of Milan, so Monday saw the second funeral. There was a funeral mass in Turkey, but on the 7th of June. But then he will be obviously buried in Milan. And there were dozens of bishops, hundreds of priests, something like 4,000 or 5,000 faithful that attended this. And the Holy Father did express his condolences in a telegram, saying he was deeply grieved by the killing. And he said, "I join all those present to recommend his soul to the infinite mercy of God, giving thanks for his generous witness to the gospel and his firm commitment," and this is what Bishop Padovese had, his firm commitment to dialogue and reconciliation, which marked his priestly life and episcopal ministry. And this was a man who was not a native of Turkey, of course, but very, very deeply loved the country and its people. And our listeners certainly know by now that we only have time on this show to really look at the highlights of the week. But the audience is always a highlight. And the Holy Father this week, continuing his catechesis on the Christian culture of the Middle Ages, he turned once again to St. Thomas Aquinas, speaking, not for the first time, on this very great saint. He said that Thomas's insistence on the harmony of faith and reason, and we know that's kind of a thread in the tapestry of this papacy of Benedict, the harmony of faith and reason. And he insisted that there is harmony between faith and reason, and yet respected the autonomy and complementarity of these two ways of knowing the truth, which, of course, has its ultimate origin in God's Word. And I love these words. Faith sheds fuller light on the truths which reason is naturally capable of knowing, while drawing from revelation a supernatural knowledge of the divine mysteries and the triune God. And reason, for its part, serves to demonstrate faith's credibility. Or you just kind of want to read and then lean back in your chair
and reflect on that
and ponder.
Well, on that note, we'll end it there. Thank you so much, Joan, for being in studio again with us. We look forward to seeing you next week.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.